The way I see it ideally going is that we will quickly wean ourselves off of carbon-intensive fuels, and we will slow down the rate of carbon emissions so that we can slow down the rate of global warming and slow down the rate of ocean acidification, so ecosystems and humans can respond in a little bit more rational, intelligent, and planned kind of way. How I really think it's going to go is that we'll probably largely continue what we're doing. There will continue to be an outcry to reduce carbon emissions, and it will be generations like yours that will finally have to grapple with this and finally come to terms with reducing emissions.
When we think about the ocean, many imagine this vast reservoir, so big that no matter what we do, none of it will have any real effect. However, the oceans are changing, and they're changing for the worse. For WHJE, I'm Alex Cruikshanks, and this is Episode 1 of Environmental. I would say that most of us have heard of global warming and rising sea levels, but there's another side to humanity's increasing carbon emissions. It's called ocean acidification, and it means a lot of trouble for our planet. Speaking now is Gabriel Filippelli, professor of earth sciences at IUPUI.
Ocean has a lot of organisms in it, including coral reefs and small plankton, which are the plant life in the ocean. They pretty much all make their shells out of calcium carbonate, which is a mineral that eventually becomes limestone. Calcium carbonate is really susceptible to dissolving with just a teeny bit of acid. And so ocean acidification is this concept that we are producing a lot of CO2 and emitting it to the atmosphere. CO2 is carbon dioxide. And a portion of that carbon dioxide dissolves into the surface ocean. When it does that, it becomes an acid, carbonic acid. And just like limestone can be dissolved with any kind of weak acid, so can the shells of these organisms be dissolved by the carbonic acid from these carbon emissions.
Ocean acidification affects the ability of many organisms to produce and maintain their shells. Coral reefs, for example, are a very important species that we're watching disappear across the globe.
And what happens with coral reefs is they're pretty sensitive organisms. So you might have heard of something called coral bleaching, which is this phenomenon where coral reefs will temporarily lose their symbionts, the plant organisms within them that keep them alive. Bleaching events are often thought of as being caused by extreme heat in the oceans, like surface water heat. Well, the reefs have a much harder time recovering when you combine that with acidic conditions. So the acidic conditions stress the coral, and then just one small little warm ocean circulation event, which brings warm water around them, can cause them to bleach and eventually die. 30% of the coral reefs of the Great Barrier Reef, the largest reef system in the world, 30% have been destroyed by a combination of ocean warming and ocean acidification. And they've been destroyed over the last 10 years. So that's the scale we're talking about.
By the year 2050, we could lose up to 90% of the world's coral reefs. And that affects us in many ways.
For coral reefs, I think the biggest effect is that they stabilize shorelines. So when big storms come in, the coral reef kind of acts as a natural protectant. When you lose a coral reef, you lose that protection. And so a storm comes in and can flood a coastal area, for example, in Australia. And so they provide that protection mechanism that directly helps humans. And they also are part of the air filtering system, the ocean's air filtering system. And so then that also changes air pollution issues as well.
In fact, ocean acidification can change a lot for humans. Not only are we facing the collapse of the fishing industry, the ocean tourism industry, we're looking at the destruction of a whole array of ecosystems and the services they provide for us.
In terms of ocean acidification, if it continues at this rate, a lot of our surface oceans will not only be uninhabitable by coral reefs, but I think more importantly to global ecosystems is a whole host of these plankton that I was talking about earlier, these microscopic plants that are the main lungs for the ocean. They're the ones that suck in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen. So they all will also be affected and impacted pretty tremendously. So not only will they not be able to produce that oxygen so much, which we depend on, But there's a whole set of ecosystems that builds on those little plants, right? There's tiny animals eat the tiny plants, bigger animals eat the tiny animals, all the way up into a whale. And so that's the ripple effect, is pretty significant mass extinctions in the ocean.
And where exactly did ocean acidification come from? 100 years of fossil fuel burning.
So there's two things that we're doing that causes ocean acidification. One of them is the emission of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere from burning fossil fuels, coal, natural gas, oil, all the things that, you know, light up our houses basically and fuel our cars and fuel trucks and ships and so forth. So that carbon dioxide is emitted to the atmosphere and spreads all throughout the atmosphere, and almost a half of it gets absorbed into the ocean. So that's one thing that causes general ocean acidification. Sometimes you can get intense coastal ocean acidification as well, and that's from acid rain from, for example, coal-burning power plants that produce a little bit of extra acid right nearby them, and that acid then deposits in the rivers which wash down into the oceans. This seems to be the biggest issue with some ocean acidification events that occur in, for example, in Washington State, where their oyster fisheries are being decimated because of acidic conditions. It's largely from the acid coming down the rivers.
Since the Industrial Revolution, ocean waters have had a 30% increase in acidity. By 2100, these levels are expected to hit 170%, and the rate at which carbon is being put into our atmosphere is increasing every year. Unfortunately, there's no real way to reverse what we've done. The only thing we can do to help is to reduce our current carbon emissions.
For ocean acidification in particular, the only way to reverse time is to suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and the oceans. I'm afraid that that's not really going to be viable for in your lifetime, for example. You can cut down emissions right now. I mean, we could actually, as many countries have done, we could reduce emissions. So there's all of these personal choices people can make. Some of them are difficult. Some of them are super easy, like making sure that whenever you replace a light bulb, you replace it with an LED light bulb, which takes a tenth of the power of an incandescent bulb. The problem is all of that carbon is already in the system, and that carbon eventually ends up in the ocean where it eventually causes ocean acidification. So it's a situation we're not going to easily be able to engineer our way out of the ocean acidification mess.
So there is no solution to what we've done. But there are ways to make sure it doesn't get worse, and they all start with the individual choices we make. Whether it be using less hot water or taking the bus, you have the ability to help, and that's what's important. For 91.3 WHJE, this has been Alex Cruikshanks. To listen to upcoming episodes of Environmental and other great podcasts, visit our website, whje.com.